Every time this reading from Isaiah comes up, I have a little more sympathy towards Ahab. He feels very human, very much so like what we experience, and so I feel kind of bad for him that he got put in such a bad place. To give you a sense of what's going on, Ahab is king of Israel. As king, his job is to defend Israel. What he sees is two major armies advancing towards Israel. You'd freak out too. The same thing works in our lives. If we have bad things that we have that are going on, maybe we have mental or physical conditions, maybe we have big looming things in our future, there's lots of things that we can relate to understand Ahab. All these looming big things that are like, what do I do? So, what is he going to do? His current plan is to make a treaty with them, which he's not supposed to, which brings the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah tells him not to. But think of where Ahab is right now. He's not in a place where he really knows God well. He's not in a place where he's seen all the great miracles of what like Elijah has done, all these great prophets of old, where they can shut up the sky for 3 years and make it not rain, or call down fire upon a sacrifice and consume it all with burning fire, or make healing miracles, all these things. He's too early on in this. So when he has this weird man come up to him with his son and say, "Don't worry, God will provide." Really now, why should I trust you? Is that not our voice too? Ahab speaks the same voice we often say. Why do I trust the word of God? Why should I believe his words will come true? What proof is there, given all the other things I have to worry about, that this will actually happen? Which is our challenge for today. Ahab challenges us to try and trust in God's word, to believe that what he says will actually come true. The antithesis to this, the exact opposite, would be St. Joseph. Here we have St. Joseph, a man who is pretty inconsequential overall, and he gets a dream. How often do you believe your dreams? Now keep in mind, we get lots of dreams and they're kind of weird. I wouldn't believe my dreams. Now imagine that God came and spoke to you in your dream. Would you believe him? Would you believe him in your dream if he told you, by the way, something that's never happened before is going to happen? Keep in mind, what he told Joseph has never happened before. There's never been a case in which the Holy Spirit came down and made someone pregnant. That's very, very rare. So very rare it happened once. So this is immensely strange. But in that, we can get a sense of St. Joseph, his character, and why this is so profound what he did. So the Gospels tell us he is a righteous man. And to sit on that for a moment gives us a sense of his character. He is one who is deeply entrenched in Jewish law. He knows what the laws are. And the laws don't just bind him, they give him life and give him a sense of who God is. So through law and the practice of law and the practice of Judaism, he's come to understand God's ways. But more than that, he probably has a life of prayer. How is he supposed to know God's voice, and especially something as weird as this dream, if he hadn't spent time praying, coming to understand God, to hear his voice, to know him? But probably the most striking thing for us is not that this righteous Jewish man has done all the right things and tried to do what was right, but when he heard God's voice, there was no complaint. There was no confusion. There was no testing, like, give me a sign, show me something, anything to prove this. He just does it. That's what's so shocking. He didn't need extra proof. He didn't need extra stuff. He knew that was God's voice. He knew that was what God wanted. So that's where we want to be. We want to be in such a place where we recognize God's voice. We know what it's like, and we can trust God's word. You know the best place to begin this? Right here at the Mass. We have lots of points in the Mass in which we hear God's voice. We hear his word, and we actually have to trust him. The hardest one, the most challenging one for all of us, is the words of consecration. This is my body. This is my blood. To really believe that those are Jesus' words, spoken again and anew, that have transformative power. They actually turn what that little white piece of bread we see into something very different. And the wine, which is so ordinary, into something extraordinary. This is our challenge. So often we like to take God's words and massage them or change them and make them conform to what makes sense to us. You know, it's a symbol of his body. They're just words. They're things he says. No, he didn't say that. He stood very firmly on that point. This is my body. This is my blood. So if we believe him and trust his word, then we realize how extraordinary that really is. that through his words, things are transformed. In a very similar way, we have Scripture. Now, the part of Scripture we struggle with the most is God's laws. We think of laws as binding, as they're like oppressive, they're hurting us, all that kinds of stuff. So the 613 laws of the Old Testament become this immense burden. But beyond that, the Ten Commandments are really our focal point. And the goal of the Ten Commandments was not to bind us. They're to give us life, that we know where our proper priority should be. God comes first. We know what our relationships with people should be. This is how you ought to act. We know how we should act in the world, what we should want and not want. All those things come out in the Ten Commandments so that we're free. We can live life rightly. We can do what's good. God's laws, his word, was not meant to bind, but to free us from all the other stuff of the world to focus on him. The same thing works for the rest of Scripture. Scripture's weird. Let's be very blunt for a moment. I was working with the fourth and fifth graders in Townsend on Wednesday, and we read the story of Samson. Boy, is that a weird passage. He takes a jawbone of a dead donkey and kills 100 people with it. That's one powerful jawbone. In addition to that, as we probably are aware, his hair gives him his power. Because he never shaved his head, he's super strong. I don't know, I've never met someone like that. But nevertheless, it shows that we can easily make Scripture very complicated by trying to massage everything and change everything and make it fit the way we think of God. But that's not the way we want to engage Scripture. We want to listen so God can inform us, so that by listening, we become like Joseph, who could hear God's voice, who could know what he wants, and be able to say in great faith, "Yes, Lord, I will do it." So from Scripture, we lead into prayer. And prayer is very important. I started with Scripture because we have to understand what God has done so we understand what he can do in our prayer, so that through prayer, conversing with God, talking with him, working with the things of the world, we come to know him and hear his voice, because that's what we want. If we know his words, what he spoke, we know what his voice is, then we know when he speaks and that it's true. So often we get confused because we think, that doesn't sound right. Nah, that's not God's will. Nah, that can't be right. He must be asking for something else. Think of if Joseph did that. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't impregnate people. That's not how it works. I don't think you're right. I'm going to dismiss this. Well, the nice thing is God is very merciful. So if the first time he comes and he speaks to us and we go, no, that can't be, he'll come again. And he'll keep coming until his will is done. So we know by repetition that that is truly his will. But that's part of it. It's part of the life of faith. And we have to trust it and then see what happens. That's ultimately what we want. We want to believe that God's word is true. We want to believe that it brings life into the world and brings life into us, and that the things he wants will be good for us. That's what we ultimately want, which is why today is so important. We have to listen to his word. We have to believe in his word. And we have to open ourselves up in such a way where we can receive that and be able to say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I want to do your will." Yeah.